You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
John Hodgman, author and resident expert on Comedy Central's The Daily Show, and Wyatt Cenik, an Emmy Award-winning writer and correspondent on that show, are two of the funniest satirists working today. And tonight at 8 p.m., Mr. Hodgman will be hosting Indecision in the Park, a free live show at Central Park Summer Stage, which includes stand-up by Mr. Cenik and other Daily Show writers and performers, Kristen Schaal, Al Madrigal, John Oliver, Rory Albanese, and Adam Lowitt. And I'm very pleased to welcome John Hodgman and Wyatt Cenik to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Now, John, you're billed as Judge John Hodgman in the Sunday New York Times magazine. So do I have to call you Your Honor?
No, Your Grace, like on Game of Thrones, please. I'm yet another pretender to the throne of radio, as it were. It's part of a podcast that I do, Judge John Hodgman, and I write. I also resolve disputes in the New York Times magazine.
Yes. I've
got a real corker coming up about a guy who flosses his teeth while driving.
And then we can also do the Will Shorts puzzle right underneath you.
Absolutely.
Wyatt, does the title Indecision in the Park mean that the event will be devoted entirely to this year's election?
No. I think that's just a nice way of saying we're all people from The Daily Show doing a stand-up comedy show. I think that was probably the best way to make that title, as opposed to a bunch of people you might recognize from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart performing.
But not Jon Stewart.
Yeah, are performing in the park, but Jon Stewart will probably not be there because it's 96 degrees outside.
I may wear a Jon Stewart rubber mask to confuse people.
That's going
to
be very hot.
Yes, and then I intend to pass out immediately.
But I'm assuming you will be talking a bit about the election.
I will be. Mm-hmm. I think, Wyatt, you're going to be mainly doing work on the Egyptian election, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I really have a good tight 15 minutes about the Egyptian election.
I'm bringing out the 20 minutes that I used to do on the California recall election when.
Oh.
Yeah, just because it's still timely, Gray Davis. It's still timely, right?
Are you doing any stuff about the rolling blackouts of, I believe it was 2004?
Yes, okay. I am. I'm doing, well, you know, that material always kills.
Yeah. No, people remember it.
Yeah.
If you have A material, you can't abandon it.
Yeah. I got candle material. I got flashlight material. It's the best.
Oh. Well, John, you have described yourself as a deranged millionaire. Why do you think so many people are angry at the 1%, or as you preferred to call them, moneyed Americans?
Moneyed Americans. Well, I mean, I think that there is a feeling that they cannot be punished for anything, that they exist in a completely different lawscape than any of us have to deal with. Not only a different economy, we're used to that. We're used to seeing them fly overhead in their golden Zeppelins. I mean, that's a standard sight downtown Manhattan. But, you know, to see Jamie Dimon up in front of the Senate and being, I mean, literally hugged by all the senators. There was that weird group hug. Did you see that? That was very surprising.
I saw some of the clips of it, yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't treated as nicely when he appeared before the House.
No, I think, well, I mean, to what degree was that a reaction to what happened in the Senate and the bad press that it got? Do you know? Mm-hmm. I think that they were shown, like, you have to actually act as though this guy lost billions of dollars. You can't just congratulate him and ask him for advice on how to run the government.
Well, he he donated some money to the Obama campaign in the last election, but he seems to be leaning toward the Republicans. Maybe this will move him back to Obama.
Well, what I love about this election now that we have Citizens United is that basically the whole election seems to be a weird game of human chess played by deranged millionaires and billionaires all over the world. You have Sheldon Adelson giving $10 million to Gingrich and then giving $10 million to Mitt Romney, John Paulson, all of these people who are now throwing money into the campaign, it seems, for their own amusement.
Now, Wyatt, Sheldon Adelson has said that on top of all that money he's given, he's willing to spend $100 million or more to defeat President Obama. You've said on The Daily Show that the Obama campaign needs to be monetized. How do you propose doing that?
I mean, I think what we talked about on the show was that there's so many things you could do as far as monetizing it. You know, I think the example we used was the president had written a note for a young boy who had missed school, and perhaps the president could offer notes to many children to get out of school, but do it for money. Like, he just did it
for
free.
Right.
Why not just offer that? You know, you just got a presidential, like an executive order saying it was okay for me to miss school, you know, by order of the president.
That's a lot better than a note from mom.
Yeah, that's worth money.
But he's just going to bypass Congress and start getting kids out of school. It's a little bit constitutional overreach.
Sure. I mean, the Sunday shows are going to be all over that.
Yeah,
he's
got to raise that money somehow.
Yeah.
Now, he was concerned after Citizens United that it would mean that foreign corporations could control our elections. You see that as a real threat?
Well, I mean, I think you heard John McCain talking about that with Sheldon Adelson, that, you know, here's a man who makes a lot of money from casinos in Macau, and now all of a sudden...
That's a cash Macau for him, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah, I believe it's called a Macash Macau.
Technically.
Yes. Yeah, right. But, yeah, here he's making this money that, as you all have said, you know, he's put $10 million into Gingrich's campaign, $10 million into Romney's campaign, is willing to spend up to $100 million of, you know, money that is coming from these foreign sources. And it's weird. It's weird when you hear a guy like John McCain, who is sort of coming out against this, you know, where it's like, oh, well, your campaign, you were willing to spend a lot of money, and there is a very easy fix for all of this. But nobody seems to want to say, oh, right, maybe let's just sort of take all of this money out of it and just have, you know, okay, you can spend X amount of dollars for your campaign. And
well, yeah, but the good part, understand that if Obama is defeated with Sheldon Adelson's money, we're finally going to get pie gal poker in the White House. And, I mean, that's going to be great for those of us who enjoy the gambling life.
And right. John, you're a wealthy person. you've called yourself
true.
A deranged millionaire.
Sure.
You built your own studio so that you didn't have to sit with us. You
yes,
built a
we're
studio
actually,
in
yeah,
this
we're actually,
building.
We're broadcasting from the WNYC Annex. In my breakfast nook.
Yeah, the John Hodgman WNYC.
I was thinking if you took that $100 million that Sheldon Adelson is putting in and then the money that people are putting in from both parties, that money could really go a long way to stimulating the economy.
Oh, no. Don't worry. That money was never going to go into the economy. All that money is being held
by these
people.
But that's not trickle-down money either?
No. That's money that was going to be hoarded anyway and kept out of the economy out of spite.
See, personally, I feel like that money could have made a really amazing movie. I think
that's true.
There are more Milton Bradley board games that could have been turned into movies.
Well, I mean, the problem with Battleship was they didn't spend enough money on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Throw another $100 million in there.
Yeah.
And if you had Sheldon Adelson do that, you presumably could have maybe borrowed some of his locations in Macau.
You've read my treatment for Parcheesi, right?
I have not.
It's a spy film.
I've been meaning to.
I apologize. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a spy film?
It's a spy film set on an aircraft carrier that's manned by aliens.
Oh, wow.
Just like Parcheesi.
Yes, exactly like Parcheesi.
Yeah, A Royal Game of India. Yeah. That's the tagline.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever...
I've never played Parcheesi.
Okay. Nope,
I got it for a song.
I really wanted to...
Brand awareness. That's what it's about.
I really want to make a movie about Pochino.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It was a board game that combined poker and keno.
Yeah, we're looking for brand awareness, not brand confusion.
Yeah, but James Bond could do very well at that, couldn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll bet you already recognize the voices of my guests today, even though you can't see them. I'm speaking to two of the stars of The Daily Show.
Are we invisible?
Well, my audience can't.
Oh, right.
John Hodgman, Wyatt Cenac, who will be participating in Indecision in the Park tonight at Central Park. Details on our show page at WNYC.org. John, you're an expert on all things. So let's talk about the economy. Is the private sector doing fine, as President Obama said and probably regrets saying?
That was a terrible thing for him to say, wasn't it? It was the equivalent of John McCain saying that the fundamentals of our economy are strong at that particular moment. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think the president probably should have said, we should have prefaced everything by saying, given that everything is totally screwed up, the private sector is doing somewhat slightly better than the public sector because the problem with the public sector, of course, is that the public school teachers are evil.
Well, what about
have to be stopped?
And I'm surprised that he doesn't, and politicians in general don't preface everything by saying this is completely off the record.
Yeah, then no one could report it.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
Comedy has said that we could do with fewer teachers, but he also said firefighters and police officers.
Yeah. You can. What you want to have is a class size of about 75 kids, okay? Because that can be, then you can teach them via a radio, basically. And, yeah, you don't need as many firefighters or police officers. You know, why not have a volunteer police force? Like you have volunteer fighting forces, right?
Well, and you know what? It's perhaps it's too much of a nanny state that if we saw fires and just had to put them out ourselves, and we saw crimes happening and we just had to stop them ourselves, perhaps we would be nicer people, less prone to arson.
Right.
You know, if we take those things away from ourselves, let's take those training wheels off and, you know, force ourselves.
If we didn't have a fire department, maybe I wouldn't be covering my house in gasoline all the time.
Right. And I wouldn't be going to sleep every night with three cigarettes in my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't smoke. I just like the smell of smoke to lull me to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, we could also ask Mr. Zimmerman to volunteer in New York City as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So private police forces always work out, as we've seen. Yeah.
Now, why many on the left are disillusioned with President Obama. Do you think that this is going to be a close race?
It seems like it could be a very close race. It's going to be decided by one vote. So,
really?
Yeah.
Would that be yours? Would you describe yourself as a member of the hipster generation? Because the hipsters did support Barack Obama in 2008, and I get the feeling they don't care much about this election.
Well, to your first question, I don't know if I feel like if I was a hipster or not, I don't think I could call myself part of the hipster generation, because it seems like part of the hipster generation is to not claim anything. It's perhaps someone else has to crown you that.
You could be a hipster, but only if you were a hipster in quotation marks.
Right.
Ironically, hipster.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it seems like you've got youth that perhaps are a little bit disaffected, but I feel like you also have a lot of just sort of middle-aged people who were also very disaffected and perhaps expected magic to happen. And there's a weird part of it that people seem to forget the role they played in getting the man elected. And the moment he got elected, it seems like they forgot, like, oh, right, we did a lot of that stuff too. We were the ones who were going out and telling people why this guy should be elected. We were the ones who were, you know, wearing T-shirts and sort of holding rallies and doing those things, that the moment he got elected, it was like, okay, well, now I have my Saturday back and I can go back to sleep and he's going to fix it all by himself.
Right. Now you become the change
that we
hope to see in the world.
And it's that
we're tired of it.
Yeah, it's like they started a diet and then it was like they got a week into the diet it's like, I lost 3 pounds. Yeah. Great. I don't have to do anything.
But then February
ever
hits
again.
And here comes the cheesesteaks.
Well, when he was elected, people were concerned that comedy writers would have a harder time writing funny things, that George W. Bush had been such an easy target.
But it only got funnier.
So it hasn't gotten more difficult.
No, I don't think so at all, because you have a couple of things going for comedy. One, you have disillusionment with Obama on the left, and then you have crazy conspiracy theories about Obama on the right.
And what about Mitt Romney? Is he an easy satiric
he
target?
Tied a dog to his car. I mean, I just don't know how it gets better than that, other than, I guess,
and Gail Collins won't let him forget it.
Well, I mean, I think that is such a bizarre and funny image that it cannot be lost. Perhaps it's an older joke now. I'm sorry, I'm not in the Daily Show as often as you are. Maybe that's a hack joke as far as you guys are concerned, but I still think it's hilarious.
Well, Wyatt, your breakout performance was your impersonation of President Obama in 2008. Do you do a Romney impersonation?
I didn't even know I did an Obama impression. I don't do. I am terrible at impressions. I don't do. I think any impression I do just winds up sounding like Bill Cosby. So I have no impressions.
I would like to hear Mitt Romney's Bill Cosby impersonation. I think that would be a very interesting thing to hear.
I do Maya Bloomberg and Mitch McConnell.
At the same time.
Which is not really going to do very well for me if I ever decide to go into stand-up.
But Romney is a hilarious and almost tragically hilarious figure because he seems so entirely uncomfortable with humanity. And with people around him.
And he says things like the trees are the right height.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes. And, you know, he lives in a world where everything around him, as a deranged millionaire, everything around him for his entire life has been able to be changed by him to be exactly the right height. And so I think that it's had a profoundly isolating influence on him.
And also it feels like this is very much the thing that he wants, like more than anything, that it's if he were to get this, like it's, like you said, kind of like a very wealthy person saying, okay, I want this thing now. And
I got where I did in my life by setting goals. And here's the arbitrary goal I'm setting for myself now.
Right. And you kind of have to wonder, okay, once he gets it, will he then become bored with it? Like, okay, I got it. Yes. Okay. Take that, Dad.
Right.
I got the thing I said I was going to do. And now it's like, okay, now that I have it, this is boring. Now I want to own a fleet of yachts.
Yes. I think that that's when he's going to restart Gingrich's moon base program, because where do you go from there?
I'm talking with John Hodgman, who's hosting Indecision in the Park, which is a free live show at Central Park Summer Stage tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. One of the performers will be Wyatt Cenac, who is here as well. Also, some others from The Daily Show, Kristen Schaal, Al Madrigal, John Oliver, Rory Albanese. How did we say that? Albanese?
Albanese,
yes. Yeah.
And Adam
Rory Albanese.
Well, I want to say it Albanese.
Oh, you want to do like the very Albanese. Sort of like old world.
Rory would be very happy if you said it that
way. We'll be
actually
back with more right after this. We're back with two contributors to The Daily Show, John Hodgman and Wyatt Cenac. They will be performing tonight free at Central Park Summer Stage, along with other Daily Show writers and performers, Kristen Schaal, Al Madrigal, John Oliver, Rory Albanese, and Adam Lowitt. And we are kind of getting – are we getting a preview, or is this totally different from what you expect to do tonight?
No, it'll be funny tonight. Don't worry. and it will be free. It will be free.
Well, this is free.
Technically, that'll
this
be free tonight.
So you can be funny.
Of course.
But you're welcome
but no,
to
it's
pay.
Not, but yeah, exactly. I get paid here because I just steal a bunch of tote bags and New Yorker subscriptions that you have lying around. And then tonight, I'll be, if you want to give me a dollar, that I'll be wandering around the park until about 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Because
I'll be with the guy who races turtles.
He once raced turtles on our show.
Really?
A radio show, yeah. That was really interesting.
Nothing like a good old-fashioned radio turtle race, yeah. I got to say. That goes back to old-time broadcasting. That's magic.
You, Wyatt, compared rappers with Republicans on The Daily Show. Does Mitt Romney have anything in common with a rapper?
Sure. I mean, I think that
he represents the complete stereotype of a white person. a detached white person that might come
video.
Up in some bad rap music.
I think that came about from the idea of these are two groups that when you look at like sort of the more pop versions of rap that there is a big emphasis on sort of wealth and extravagance and in that same way there are some things that these two groups probably have an appreciation for the same things that when you hear a rapper talking about flying in a G6, like the people who have those, Mitt Romney's got one, like it's like a lot of the things that you hear name checked on like Kanye and Jay-Z's Watch the Throne album. My guess is Mitt Romney, has some of those.
Although he wouldn't brag about it. Mitt Romney wouldn't brag about it in the way that Jay-Z would. What about Barack Obama?
But I feel like there is still a certain level of like, in hip hop it's called bragging, but I feel like among politicians, it's taking pride, you know, that like
there's... Yeah, he's not going to apologize for his success.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, which it's like, okay, that's very much, that's how is that very different?
I'm not going to apologize for drinking Cristal on this yacht.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you want to criticize me for my success, well, then you're not American.
What about Barack Obama? He doesn't strike me as being a rapper type.
I don't think he doesn't seem like he has, and even when he got into the White House, he did not have the amount of homes that, John McCain had, where, you know, he was famously asked about his, seven homes?
He couldn't remember.
Right.
Neither could John McCain remember how many homes he had.
Yeah. I've been to 4 of them.
Have you really?
They don't know. Each time it was an accident.
His barbecue is delicious, especially when you eat it at 3 o'clock in the morning out of his refrigerator while they're sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, and they sleep soundly. The McCains don't wake up. You can break stuff and they don't wake up. And they don't seem to notice that you broke it.
No.
No.
Yeah. It all gets cleaned away by robots before the dawn.
Well, your Stephen Colbert, who comes out of The Daily Show, has invented a word, truthiness. I think he invented it, didn't he?
He did.
I wonder,
sounds like he did, so I'm going to say yes.
I wonder what you think of the broadcasters who on some of the other stations, cable stations, who deliver inflammatory statements that often turn out to be inaccurate but doesn't seem to matter.
Well, I think what's more troublesome is when politicians and public figures say completely inaccurate things and they're not called on it. You know, that's the he said, she said form of journalism. It's like, well, you know, he said that the president is a Manchurian candidate Islamic spy. I guess there's no way that we can verify that, so we'll make no comment on the truth of that. And it goes on the other side as well, of course.
Well, it seems like what's unfortunate is it's all become a form of entertainment, that now you have these 24-hour news networks that feel they have to compete with each other, and then not just each other, they have to compete with every other cable channel, that they feel like, oh, we need to draw viewers away from Bravo or NBC or, you know, and it's like, okay, now you're in the business of entertainment, and then for the politicians and the pundits that you have on your shows, they also now feel this level of having to entertain as opposed to govern and be honest and have decorum, that it's just sort of turned into this, no, we all are trying to do things to get views, and life has become this sort of reality show.
It's a hilarious Hunger Games of news, basically.
It is, yeah.
And, that's why it will always be funny, no matter who's in office, because there will always be hypocrisy and agendas that you can pull apart and look at.
If you have the good taste to already be a fan of The Daily Show, you know John Hodgman and Wyatt Cenac for their comedic antics, and I'm talking with them right now outside their TV personae. But you can see them in person tonight at Central Park for free at 8 as part of the summer stage series.
Yeah, we're not just going into the park and talking.
No.
No.
We do that sometimes.
Do you have sets and everything and dancers and music?
We've created a Daily Show band.
Yes.
I believe I'm going to be playing the drums.
I'll be on theremin.
Yes, which is great. John Oliver is going to be playing the slap bass.
Yep.
He's really been working at it, I think. The thing is, none of us had picked up a musical instrument before this. I think Kristen...
I still haven't.
Kristen had played the xylophone a bit, but she's not playing the xylophone for this. She decided...
Glockenspiel, I believe. Because it's cuter.
But we all decided, okay, you know what? Let's, as people who have no real musical skill, let's go do summer stage as a band. We're going to do, you know, a 2-hour jam set.
Totally unrehearsed.
No rehearsal.
Right.
I've learned Hot Cross Buns on the drums.
Well, I thought we said you weren't going to learn any songs.
Right. I felt like I'm going to learn and I'm going to play it.
You're going to break down Hot Cross Buns.
Yeah. And if other people kind of pick it up,
it's
then...
going to be Buns Hot Cross by the time you're done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
Got to give it a backbeat.
I'm going to try.
President Obama's decision to suspend deportations of some illegal immigrants is widely approved by Democrats, but it's been criticized by many Republicans. Why do you think Mitt Romney won't take a stand on this?
He wants to
be president.
Yeah.
I think he's running for president, right? Isn't that what's going on?
Because there are people out there. CNN's Lou Dobbs Tonight Show once expressed concerns that illegal immigrants would bring leprosy into the United States.
Well, Lou Dobbs is looking for an audience of a few hundred thousand angry white men. That's all he requires. And actually, to become president, you need those 100,000 angry white men, but you also need other voters. And, of course, the Latino community is a growing voting bloc and an active voting bloc. So, yeah, he can't go out there and even if there's a portion of his base that would like him to say, no, we're just going to deport everyone who's undocumented. He can't even say that. He's really stuck.
Yeah. It seems like it's a very weird game of trying to court a bunch of different people at the same time. And, yeah, you're just trying to say enough to keep them interested and not so much to lose any of them.
Republicans are upset about it because it sort of forces them to act as vaguely xenophobic as they secretly like to act among themselves in certain corners of the Republican Party. And it's a game on Obama's side as well, obviously, because this didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, this could have been enacted last year or the year before. It is precisely a kind of political gamesmanship.
Well, and it's a weird game, too, in the sense that, like, it's being played as, oh, this is a Latino issue, but it also affects Asians, and it affects a lot of Asians and South Asians. But for the news media, and going back into this idea of this whole thing as entertainment, it's a much easier picture to paint as like, oh, all of this amnesty for these Latinos who are coming in from across the border where there's violence on the border and they're going to bring in drugs. And it's very easy to play that for entertainment as opposed to saying like, oh, this also affects, you know, some engineer who's coming from India, you know, some engineering student. It affects them. It affects Asians as well. And it affects them in great numbers. But that's we're not as a, you know, the narrative that is out there is that those aren't people that we as Americans are as terrified of as we are supposed to be of Latinos.
Now, there was a time when people who did funny things rarely talked about politics. I guess Will Rogers was an exception, later Mort Saul. But today it seems to me that anybody who wants to do stand-up or write any kind of humor has to really keep up with the news. Are you a news junkie?
No.
Yeah, it's interesting. What comedy I did before joining The Daily Show was primarily weird literary comedy. You know, it wasn't even comedy. It was more literary humor. I inspired quiet chuckles for the arched eyebrow set in McSweeney's types, but I was not openly political in any way. I was a fan of The Daily Show because I was absolutely obsessed with what was going on in the national election in 2004. And then suddenly I was on the show and sort of had an obligation to engage with political issues. And it's interesting and it's bracing, but it feels to me like it brings a lot of responsibility because you can't just be silly. You have to
know what you're talking about. The jokes grow out of reality. And
like
doesn't that happen with you too, Wyatt?
It does, but I feel like all of those are things that they always existed in comedy. I mean, I think you look at, you know, you mentioned Mort Saul, but I think there's also, you know, Pat Paulson and the Smothers Brothers and Chris Rock and, you know, Richard Pryor. Everybody is sort of speaking to their perspective and speaking from their perspective. And a lot of times it is, you know, this is how the world affects me. It's not always, oh, here's a joke that I took ripped from the headlines, but what is happening in the headlines is affecting me. It's affecting the people around me.
Yeah.
You know, there's maybe more of a spotlight focused on it and on our show because of the amount of time, you know, the longevity of our show that has kind of put a spotlight on it in a way that wasn't there when you look at, you know, Pat Paulson ran for president, what, twice?
The pleasure of comedy and the relief of comedy is shared experience and someone saying something that you thought yourself or didn't even yet think to think of yourself. And of course, the big shared experience that we have are things like the economy and politics and where we're going and the anxiety that we're feeling right now.
Now, you, Wyatt, and the other Daily Show contributors are doing stand-up tonight.
Yes,
did you
are.
Get started in stand-up?
I did. I started doing stand-up in college and was doing like some stand-up and sketch stuff in college, and then moved to Los Angeles and continued doing all that stuff there before I got this job.
And then this Sunday you'll be appearing in the Kings County show at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
I will.
That's hosted by our own Kurt Anderson here.
Yeah, I've heard the promos, Wyatt.
Okay.
You're going to be there and Kristen's going to be there.
You got to do the same routine you're doing tonight?
I don't know. I honestly, you telling me this now is reminding me that I'm doing that show.
It's really interesting. I know all about it, but I'm not doing it. No, it's funny.
Oh,
I hope you have a good time
at
the Bell House. I can walk there from my house, you know.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's whatever.
Well,
it's
then
good.
You should come by.
I'll come by and nurse a bitter Diet Coke at the end of the bar and I watch you perform.
Oh,
no, it's going to be a good show. You're going to be great in it.
Have you already seen it?
I've already written your material.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
This is going to be fun.
I hope you like making jokes about movies based on Parcheesi. Because I'm doing some buzz marketing for my new movie. I put that in there.
I'm going to have to do some research then.
John, you started as a writer, not as a performer?
That is correct. I was a writer.
When did you cross over?
When did you sell out, he means.
No, I understand. I understand exactly what Leonard Lopate means. Thank you. I started hosting variety shows about 10 years ago in Brooklyn, mainly as a chance to showcase funny and interesting people that I liked. And then really I became a performer when I went on The Daily Show to promote my first book, The Areas of My Expertise.
And they asked you back.
And they asked me back to do comedy. And it's since been, I thought they were just being polite. So I said, sure, but I guess they meant it because I'm still doing it.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for being on our show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I've been speaking with Wyatt Cenac,
I'll take an Oscar.
Correspondent for the Daily Show.
Nobody's going to check. They're in their cars, presumably. They can't check. They'll believe it. I won an Oscar and a Grammy.
And John Hodgman is the author, resident expert.
I was
on
nominated
Comedy
for an Audi for audiobooks.
Oh, I thought it was a car.
What's that?
That's what you get if you win. If you win an Audi, you get an Audi.
Yeah.
You will. They will be part of a large group from Comedy Central's The Daily Show tonight at 8 p.m. in Central Park as part of the Central Park Summer Stage series. It is free.
It is.
And I thank the both of you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure.